Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork, One Another. The date today is the 30th of September 2009 and the time is 9:15 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your name, your age and where you're from.
Okay, my name's Alex Maxwell, I'm 22 and I've just moved to Manchester.
And how are you today?
Very well, yeah, a little bit apprehensive.
What are you apprehensive about?
I fear I may have bitten off a bit more than I can chew with this. I thought, you know, let's fill the hour, and I'm probably definitely going to fill the hour with this thing I'm going to be building on the plinth.
Okay. What are you going to be building?
Well, it started out as being a bench. I was going to build a bench on the plinth for the next plinthers to sit on and everything. During the last 48 hours, it's sort of expanded to a sort of temporary pavilion. So I'm going to be erecting a sort of a small shelter on the top of the plinth tonight. So it's going to be a very, very temporary pavilion.
And what are you going to build it out of?
I've brought some wood down and some sort of, I think it's like a weed suppressant, sort of that you put on the ground for the top. And bits of string. String are a builder's friend, you know. they're very versatile, and so I'm using that for the cross bracing and for the support. So, yeah. The idea sort of essentially came out of I'm an architecture student, and I'm involved with this organisation called EASA, which is the European Architecture Students Association. And every year we hold two sort of big events: the Summer Assembly, which is a two-week long assembly, and then a week of sort of a conference of like the national contacts for each country meet up and discuss where it's going to go in the future, etc. And this year, in sort of next August, it's coming to Manchester, and it's the first time it's been back in the UK in 30 years since it started in Liverpool. So I got involved with that through my university in Brighton about a year ago, and sort of went to the summer assembly this year in Italy, and it's all very collaborative. It's sort of Europe wide, so it's great. It's a great opportunity to meet people, meet sort of new people that you wouldn't meet, and different ways of thinking essentially. And it's just a great way of doing sort of experimental workshops that you wouldn't do at a university or at school, and. And obviously, sort of the main point of it is adapting to the location you're at, because you're changing every year. And so I thought, well, you know, if I'm involved with that at the moment, how can I bring this to the plinth? And sort of, I was thinking, how can I adapt something, sort of a structure, to the plinth? And I sort of noticed early on that there's sort of the plinth that sort of raises up. There's a sort of a 20 centimeter section that raises up from the end. So using that, what's useful for the plinth? Like, people are always sitting down, they're always borrowing stools or getting rained on, so maybe some sort of shelter, and that's how the idea started, really. And hopefully I'll be able to build it in the time I'm given.
Have you built it before?
With my housemate last night, we built a we designed and built it yesterday afternoon, so if it fails, it's because of that. But we're hoping I'm hoping that I'll be able to build it with one person. Like, we built it between two of us yesterday afternoon, and yes, we built sort of a test run, not fully finished, because it'd be difficult to take down in sort of good working order, so I can rebuild it today. But it should work in theory.
And how are you feeling about doing this now that you're actually here?
Surprisingly calmer now that I'm here than I have been all day. Sort of waking up at sort of 5:30 this morning in like a cold panic, like, you know, ouch. Today's the day, I have to get the train in 2 hours. And but now that I'm here, I'm looking forward to it, I guess. Yeah.
And if I can go back to before you sort of became involved in One Another, and ask what it was about this project that motivated you to apply.
It was interesting. I sort of read about it, I think, on the press release day, and just thought it was an interesting project. I've sort of been aware of Anthony Gormley's work for several years, since his project in Newcastle, I think, where he did like a cast of locals in the Baltic. And Just thought it'd be a good opportunity to get involved with something that, you know, doesn't come along very often, and it's something that's going to stay with me for a while, and it's only, you know, I'm going to be one of a club of 2,400 people, so good opportunity to get involved and you know, show some of the world or the country a bit about myself.
And how did you come to the decision that you wanted to build something on the plinth?
I kind of sort of had a look at what was going on sort of the first few months, and I kind of thought there's a lot of people who have something to say and like something to, you know, shout about and really believe in, and I don't know, be it that I'm young and I still like haven't since that or experienced so much, I haven't really got that much to say, and you know, so instead of going up there and sort of essentially doing nothing or just reading or something, I just thought I'd utilize the hour in the best possible way that I could, and sort of as an architecture student, you're told it's essentially problem solving, so I was like, okay, so what problems does this site provide, and can I solve them in an hour, and how? So that's how it came about, sort of this idea of making something, yeah.
And your role within the Architecture Society, the Students Architecture Society, mm-hmm. What is your role within that?
I'm sort of the coordinator for the events during the society, so that during the assembly and next summer. So that would include. So that would include sort of lectures by sort of professionals and sort of artists involved, debates within sort of the community, sort of trying to spark debates and providing venues for those, and obviously the social sides of the parties. I mean, we're all still students, so we all enjoy a good party. So. Providing the social events and venues that people can come together and relax after, hopefully, a hard day's workshops.
And how many people are in the society?
Europe-wide, it's within 40 European countries, and at the last few events, there's been roughly 400 people involved, and that includes, obviously, participants, tutors, and organisers. We're all students at various levels, obviously, through our careers, and it's all run by students for students. So this year in Manchester, we've got about 40 people involved, obviously mostly within Manchester itself, sort of keeping it local, keeping the theme, because the theme's identity, so looking at the theme of the city, but obviously going sort of nationwide to promote it and obviously, you know, get some sponsorship and take it further afield, really, because hopefully, you know, we want this to grow in the UK and Europe wide.
And you're an architecture student, you said.
Yeah.
Where are you up to with your studies?
Well, I've done my bachelor's in Brighton, which is the first 3 years, and I've taken sort of the last year and a half out to do some professional practice. And I had the opportunity to go abroad to do some research work in Cuba, which was a great opportunity. And so I'm now sort of looking forward for next September, going back to university to do a master's.
And going back to basics with this, what was it mm-hmm. about architecture that made you want to study it?
I'm not sure, really. It was always a mix of sort of the science and the problem solving aspects in sort of school and the creativity and sort of, you know, the free flowing ideas and creating something new and exciting and always sort of scribbling and doodling and when I was sort of 17 and when you have to choose a career in the UK, I sort of, you know, architecture seemed the obvious choice, and it's, I think it's great that it's sort of a sort of course or career that sort of really lets you develop and there's a great many sort of branches that you can take into and depending on what you're into. So I think the defining point maybe was seeing the redevelopment of Bilbao, which is a city I sort of grew up in when I was younger in the north of Spain, and sort of seeing it transform from like a completely industrial town literally within 2 years to see into this sort of cultural global sort of mecca for sort of American tourists and wow, you know, let's see the Guggenheim and all of this. And it's like, well, you know, if essentially one person can create this, then, you know, that's quite cool and I want to do that. So, I think that was probably the time when I thought, yeah, let's do architecture, yeah.
And is there a particular type of architecture that you're really passionate about?
That's probably the most difficult question you could ask a student. It sort of fluctuates from week to week. I don't know, like, it's very difficult, and you sort of develop into themes and currents with everything you read and articles you read and discussions with friends, and this is why, you know, this is great because it opens it Europe-wide, and it changes you, and it sort of opens you up to new experiences and new architects and new designers. So I would say no, there isn't a favorite theme. Like, I like new architecture and I like good architecture, and that's very difficult to do, both of them. Like, it's very easy to be criticized and it's very easy to do sort of boring, uninteresting architecture. So I think if you can do something good and new nowadays, you're definitely onto a winner.
And have you got a path that you see yourself following?
Right now, no. I guess finishing my education, sort of priority number one. But even then, sort of, I'm looking maybe doing it abroad. Sort of different. It's a different way of teaching. Sort of the UK is very sort of theoretical, and sort of it's really pushing the boundaries at the moment of architectural thought, which is really good. I think I'm more sort of construction based. So I'm sort of looking to France and Spain to maybe sort of deal with that sort of feeling that I have. And then from there, I guess maybe going to teaching as well. I'd like to, you know, see if I can impart some wisdoms to younger people.
And you're an architecture student at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You've just been to Cuba. What was that like?
It was amazing. Really, it was an amazing experience. It was so unexpected because we were there for 4.5 months in the end. So the initial month is sort of the shock of it and the complete change of culture, and you don't get used to it, and you think everything's different and weird, and then you settle into life and you see things differently. It's obviously because of their sort of political issues over the last 50 years, and obviously that affects sort of economic and social differences. It's just a completely different way of thinking, and I think after about 3 months, you know, we finally clicked and found that, you know, they were happy in their way of life. But before that, we were still sort of the tourists abroad, and it was difficult sort of living there sort of day to day. But the work we did was really interesting. It was very independent work. They just gave us sort of a brief to work around and sort of left us to develop our own projects. Absorbing sort of the cultures and the technologies there, and then sort of letting that define our own project. So, funnily enough, we all sort of took a green tip. I think probably because we were all from Brighton University, but they have they're very urban agriculture based, and I know that's sort of quite sort of the buzz terminology nowadays. Even in London, sort of everyone's like. Allotments and everything, and obviously because once the Berlin sort of the Soviet bloc collapsed, a lot of their funding and imports collapsed as well with it. So they were forced essentially to build these sort of large plots in the city to provide lots of food, but also with a lot of input. So it's a lot of input, low yield to sort of absorb the unemployment, and we just thought that was a really sort of funny way about going about it. Because obviously in the Western world it would be sort of minimum input, maximum yield. So we were sort of trying to maybe suggest modern agriculture techniques within sort of an architecture systems based approach. And they really liked it, I think. But obviously it wasn't what they were used to. And so hopefully if we gave them something to think about And yeah, I think I definitely benefited from my time there, yeah.
And what else is important to you at the moment in your life?
I guess number one, my job, which is going fine. It's sort of working for a small practice. Number two, I've just moved to Manchester, so it's a sort of brand new city, and so I'm still sort of learning my way around. And at the moment, it's everything's fine. It hardly rained in the 3 weeks I'm there, so I can dispel the myths. And at the moment, so going through a transitionary phase, obviously, like looking for universities for next year, and sort of struggling with the jobs, like most people.
Can I ask you to say a little bit about your background in terms of where are you from?
Yeah, I was born in High Wycombe and raised for the first few years in Spain, and then in a small village in between Oxford and Milton Keynes in Buckinghamshire, where I grew up, and then went to university in Brighton. Just a very regular upbringing, I'm afraid. No dramas, no special notes, but I guess it's sort of a pretty average life up until now. So we'll see where our plinth appearance takes me.
How old were you when you lived in Spain?
I was one until I was three. So I sort of grew up speaking Spanish. Obviously, my mum still speaks Spanish because my mum's Spanish, so she still speaks to me in Spanish sort of constantly, even if I reply in English. So so I was brought up on English while my dad was at work, and or on Spanish while my dad was at work, and he would come and it would be English and Spanish. So I've been really fortunate sort of to be brought up sort of bilingual. I know a lot of people sort of struggle later in life to learn languages, so I've kind of blessed with that. But it was sort of odd. Like, I can't remember, but I was told sort of like nursery and preschool was a bit difficult for me because I was sort of essentially only talking in Spanish. So the first few weeks were a little bit on my own while I sort of came back with the English. So yeah, it was interesting, yeah. And obviously a lot, you know, Spanish families are relatively large, so we're always there for New Year's for big family get-togethers and stuff. So yeah, it's nice.
Do you know much about your family history at all?
Not a great deal, I'm afraid. My mum's been sort of in the family tree vein the last few years, so I know that my great great grandfather was a cartwheel builder, and on my father's side, they're all sort of shopkeepers, essentially, sort of merchants and wholesalers as far back as we can find. So that's as much as I know.
And have you told your family and friends that you're going to be on the plinth this evening?
I have. Well, I told I was in Italy at this assembly while I found out. So I told one friend, who told the rest of my friends, and all the information was sent to my family. So they found out that way. And I believe my mum and dad are going to be around tonight, and a few of my London friends are going to be here to support me or otherwise. Yeah.
And before you go up there, have you any closing words that you'd like to say?
No, I don't think I do. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Okay, no problem.